Phoenix Books presents.
The Cat Who Tailed a Thief by Lillian Jackson Braun. It was a strange winter in Moose County, 400 miles north of everywhere. First, there was a disagreement about the long-range weather forecast. The weatherman predicted a winter of zero temperature, in other words, normal. On the other hand, farmers who observed the behavior of the fuzzy caterpillars insisted the winter would be mild. No one wanted a mild winter. The farmers themselves needed a heavy snow cover to ensure a good summer crop. And as for the first annual ice festival, it would be doomed. Throughout November, the weather was disappointingly good, and the natives cursed the fuzzy caterpillars. Then suddenly, in mid-December, temperatures plummeted. In downtown Pickax, the county seat, the Department of Public Works threw up the usual 8-foot wall of snow along the curbs. Best of all, the schools closed twice during the month because of blizzard conditions. In late December, an outbreak of petty larceny dampened the holiday spirit in Pickax. Trivial items began to disappear from cars and public places, prompting the local newspaper to run an editorial. Play safe. Lock up. Be alert. You leave a video on the seat of your car while paying for self-serve gas. You never see it again. You forget your gloves at the post office. A minute later, they're gone. Who is to blame? Mischievous kids? Gremlins? Your failing memory? Some say the incidents are minor and the pilfering is a temporary nuisance, like mosquito week in the spring. If that's what you think, listen to our police chief, Andrew Brody, who says, "A community that tolerates minor violations leaves the door open for major crimes." Natives of Moose County were a stubborn, independent breed descended from early pioneers, and it would take more than an editorial in the Moose County something to change their ways. Yet there was one prominent citizen who applauded the police chief's maxim. Jim Quillerin was not a native, but a transplant from down below, as the locals called the metropolitan cities to the south. Surprising circumstances had brought him to Pickax, population 3,000, and he was surprisingly content with small-town life. Quillerin was a tall, well-built, middle-aged man with a luxuriant pepper-and-salt mustache and hair graying at the temples. If asked, he would say that he perceived himself as a journalist, semi-retired, a former crime reporter and author of a book on urban crime, writer of a twice-weekly column for the local newspaper, devoted friend of Polly Duncan, head of the Pickax Public Library, protector and slave of two Siamese cats. All that would be true. He would not perceive himself, however, as the richest man in the northeast central United States, but that too would be true. An enormous inheritance, the Klingenshone fortune, had brought Quillerin to this remote region. Yet he was uncomfortable with money, its trappings as well as its responsibilities, and he immediately consigned his billions to philanthropic purposes. For several years, the Klingenshone Foundation had been managed by a Chicago think tank with little or no attention from James McIntosh Quillerin. It was not only this generous gesture that caused him to be esteemed in Moose County. Admirers cited his entertaining columns straight from the quill pen, his amiable disposition and sense of humor, and, of course, his magnificent mustache. Its drooping contours, together with his brooding eyes, gave him a look of melancholy that made people wonder about his past. Actually, there was more to that mustache than met the eye. On the morning of December 23rd, Quillerin was setting out to do his Christmas shopping, but first he had to hand in his copy at the newspaper office, 1,000 words on Santa Claus. Arch Riker, his lifelong friend and fellow journalist, had followed him to Pickax to be publisher of the new Backwoods paper. A paunchy, ruddy-faced man with thinning hair, he sat in a high-backed executive chair and looked happy. "Mildred and I are expecting you and Polly to have Christmas dinner with us," he reminded Quillerin. "Turkey, I hope," Quillerin replied, thinking of leftovers for his housemates. The first Christmas gift he purchased was a bottle of scotch. He carried it in a brown bag under his folded jacket when he climbed the stairs to police headquarters. Quillerin found Andrew Brody, the chief of police, hunched over the computer that he earnestly hated. Brody was a tough cop, and yet he had learned to appreciate the newsman's tips and opinions that sometimes help